You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other hosts or advertisers on the Pet Life Radio Network.
Welcome to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Master Pet Chef Nikki Voisard, and thanks for joining us. On today's show, I'll be talking with Ken Morris. I helped guide Ken and his wife, Linda, to changing their dog, Dioji's, diet. And Ken has a fascinating story to share. Hey, welcome to Pet Life Radio, Ken.
Hey, it's great to be here, Nikki. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah. So tell us, what brings you here today?
Well, you know, as you said, you really helped us through a very difficult experience with our very first dog, Dioji. And, you know, we just feel like there's so many people around like us who might benefit from what we learned. And, you know, basically it's about the importance of dog food. And we just feel like we were so ignorant on the topic. And we feel like most people are. Of course, your listeners are probably a little more enlightened, but hopefully just sharing some of this experience we had but today might help inspire some of your listeners and help them avoid some of the difficulties that we went through.
Well, you know, you're exactly right. And sometimes ignorance is bliss, and we can go on for a long time being ignorant. I remember being pretty ignorant when I was younger. I grew up on a ranch, and we fed our dogs naturally, but then I kind of took to feeding my dogs just nothing but commercial food, and I felt that was my point of being ignorant. And then something clicked again, and brought me to that. But I always have to credit you and Linda for just really taking it upon yourself to make the change. And you both were some of the easiest people. I don't know if you're that easy in the rest of your life, but you were both some of the easiest people I know who just saw what you had to do and you made the change. So tell us about Dioji.
Well, you know, I'd never had a dog before. Linda had a dog many, many years ago when she was growing up, but basically we'd never had dogs before. But, you know, some friends of ours had a Norwich Terrier, which we had never seen before, but they had one. You don't see a lot of them. They're a relatively small dog. They don't shed. And my wife really fell in love with Checkers. That was their dog. And, of course, they didn't want to part with him, so we ended up getting one ourselves, and we named him D.O.G., and he was born in late 2003, and we adopted him in February of 2004. And so that was great, having him grow up. And the two dogs, Dioji and Checkers, both played together. And until Checkers was up in years, actually, and he ended up passing away. But he was at the ripe old age of 17 years old. And, of course,
wow.
You know, small dogs live longer than large dogs, but even 17 is really good for even a small dog.
So that is.
We were looking forward to, you know, at least a good long life with Dioji. And, you know, all was really well with Dioji until, I'll never forget the date, it was our 30th wedding anniversary, February 23rd of last year, 2010. He was only about 6 years and a little over 3 months old, you know, just barely a middle-aged dog.
Yeah.
And we took him to the vet for his standard annual checkup. And the day before, Linda had noticed just a couple of little points under his neck. And she said, oh, we'll have to ask her about this. Well, long story short, Dioji was diagnosed with lymphosarcoma, which is a form of cancer. And so, man, we were devastated. But even worse than that diagnosis was his prognosis. Without treatment, they said he would only live another 30 to 50 days. Oh, my
wow.
Gosh.
Yeah. And you guys, you were always good at taking your dog to the vet, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, we definitely were. He was good going to the vet. He had quite the visits there.
But yeah, boy, he liked the vet.
Yeah, he liked the vet. We liked the vet. You know, she was real helpful. But boy, this was quite the shock. I mean,
yeah.
You know, for going from all well to he might not be here in a month. But that was just really shocking.
And you forgot to also mention that when you found out the prognosis or the diagnosis that it was your 30th anniversary, what a nice present.
Yeah, you know, it was a very nice day for us, our 30th wedding anniversary, but boy, it really put the damper on it, I tell you. It's been a day we won't forget.
It was quite a shock. I remember talking to you. And so how long did he end up living?
Well, you know, after we got that news, we, of course, celebrated each day with him because we didn't know how many we were going to have.
Right.
And so we really just tried to enjoy each one and just live it as if it were his last. And so we spent a lot of time with, obviously, celebrating each day. And I remember April 15th was a special day because that was day number 51. He had outlived even the top end of the prognosis. So we were counting the days and enjoying each one of them. But, you know, it went until June 24th, and that's the day DOG left us. But, you know, that was day number 121 days. And I tell you, Nikki, as you know, those were great days for DOG. He lived over 2 to 4 times the original prognosis, and we just felt so blessed to have had him for so long after he contracted the cancer.
Yeah, and I remember he basically had a good time. You know, he lived well.
That's one nice thing about that particular disease is it's relatively pain-free for the dog, which we felt blessed. So, you know, he had 121 great days. We'll go into more of that later on here. But
we're just going to take a really quick break and then come back and ask Ken, how did he think that DOG contracted the cancer? So we'll just take a quick break and we'll be right back with a Pet Chef.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
At Petco, we really love pets. There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
"So how do you feel about cat condos?"
we can say from experience,
"Feels like home for her."
Enter the code PETCHEF10, PETCHEF, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
I play tennis because I love to. But inside, I want to win. Take away the court, the net. I might not be a player, but I'll always be a competitor. Lady Foot Locker understands that.
Lady Foot Locker. The first to carry Adidas off-court shoes and the gear that goes with them.
If you play your best, there's no regret.
Lady Foot Locker. One place, every woman.
Go to ladyfootlocker.com and enter the code AFTPC1LF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFTPC2LF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at ladyfootlocker.com.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. It's the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Got questions about your hound's health? Need the facts on Fido's fitness or food? You want to unleash your pup's potential? Well, you've come to the right place with Win with Dogs. Here, we learn how easy it is to naturally improve the lives of our furry friends. So sit, today and get ready to win with dogs. With me, Raquel Wynn. Exercise, nutrition, interaction, and love make for one healthy, happy hound. Give yourself the gift of knowledge on demand every week right here at Pet Life Radio with me, Raquel Wynn, and Win with Dogs.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio, and I have Ken Morris with me as my guest. And after all of this shock that you had, and after everything going through all this with DOG, but there was a point where you had to stop and think about why you thought that DOG got the cancer that he did.
Yeah, you know, Mickey, we'll never know for sure, of course, but we naturally gave it a lot of thought. And you know, the initial thought we had was, oh, this must be genetic. You know, he came up with this cancer. So, you know, given that he actually came from a breeder, it was relatively easy to look into that. And we talked to the breeder, of course, and, you know, up and down the line, there was no history of such. So it was pretty easy to rule out genetics as the cause.
Yeah. Well, since I've had cancer myself, and I've worked with many dogs that had gotten cancer, I think that more so we need to look at the environmental issues, and that might have contributed more to his cancer. Don't you agree?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of those two things. It's genetics and environment. That's kind of the two things. And so, yeah, in his environment, we kind of started looking at that and saying, well, what was in DOG's environment? Really kind of did some soul searching. You know, sarcomas, one explanation is that they come from the use of pesticides. And so we kind of looked at DOG's environment, and did we have any of this bad stuff in his environment? And we found out we did, of course, as most people do. We had, like, for example, number of household cleaning products. And so we've since switched to an environmentally friendly set of cleaning products. And then we had our pest service, you know, inside and out of the house. And so we were, again, more chemicals being sprayed. And those pesticides, again, linked to sarcomas. So we've actually changed to an organic pest service, and they use things like herbs instead of all these chemicals.
Right. That's great.
Oh, yeah. It's terrific. And then, you know, our landscaping service, they were putting down more chemicals for weed killers and everything. And so we just stopped all of that. In fact, you were here when we did that. I remember the day.
Yeah.
And so we stopped all the chemicals. And, you know, that's been over a year. And to be quite honest, of course, we live in the desert where we don't have a lush lawn or anything. But it's been over a year. And quite frankly, Mickey, I haven't noticed any difference.
Yeah.
We have tons of weeds coming out. I mean, so we've stopped all those chemicals. So we did have a lot of bad stuff in the OG's environment. And like I say, I think we weren't that different from most people, I suspect, unfortunately.
No, it's really true. When I go to people's houses, I look underneath their sink, and it's absolutely amazing what we all possess and what we use on a daily basis. I stopped that many years ago, but, you know, it's kind of common. It's very common for people, and we don't think about it, just spraying Roundup everywhere and thinking, oh, this isn't going to matter, but it does. It all adds up. So what else did you find in his environment?
Well, you know, that's kind of the bad stuff. And then I always think of it as, well, what about good stuff? You know, we thought we were doing a lot of good things for DOG, but reflecting back upon it, we now question that. For example, I mean, again, he was our first dog. We didn't know what we were doing. You know, we looked to the vet for a lot of guidance. And, of course, vaccinations, you betcha we want those vaccinations. Give him everything.
Everything, so, right.
Everything, you know. So
yeah.
He got all the vaccinations. And, you know, in retrospect, I'm not sure that's such a good idea. I think, you know, some of them are good, some of them are questionable. So a little more knowledgeable today. But, for example, DOG even got Bordetella. I mean, that's something you give to dogs when they're boarded a lot, and it helps avoid kennel cough. Although in talking to places around here, it's even questionable how effective that is. But the OG got it religiously year-round, every year, and even when he wasn't being boarded or anything, which was most of the time.
Yeah.
It seems ridiculous looking back, but again, we're just ignorant. And then there's other things. I mean, heartworm medication, you know. Heartworm disease, of course, is a scary thing, but, you know, it's transmitted by mosquitoes. Well, I live in Arizona. We don't have a lot of mosquitoes in Arizona, but boy, the OG got those chemicals in his system every month religiously. And then fleas, you know, we took a trip to the East Coast. He picked up some fleas, and so from then on, he got that flea prevention medication. Did I mention we live in Arizona?
Yeah.
Not a lot of fleas, particularly in the winter, but year-round, he got all that stuff. And then, you know, one other thing that we thought was kind of a good thing, and we now question, and a lot of this, of course, we'll never know, but there's a microchip. You know, we had that implanted, and you raised this as a potential concern, and there's this website out there, I think you told us about, chipmenot.org, or I found out from somewhere. There's a lot of scary stuff out there, and of course, you know, you never know if stuff is true or not, but we have a friend, and they have a dog with some of those symptoms that are mentioned on that website. So, you know, I don't know if that contributed to Diogi's getting cancer or not, but, you know, in looking back, I think about, well, what are the chances that we would really need him to have that chip versus the potential of the risk to his health? And so, you know, we have a new dog now, and we're not chipping him. So,
well, it's a very controversial thing because the shelters are all doing it, and the state of California, it has become mandatory that everybody has to chip their dog, you know, generally if the dog comes from a shelter or the cat. But there are a lot of problems, and I see a lot of it with a lot of dogs that I deal with because of this. And I know there's going to be a million people that say, oh, no, that has nothing to do with anything. But that's exactly why they are not chipping people, because as yet, it still might happen. But in order to maintain a chip, the immune system has to work real hard. And I think there's going to be a big business coming up real shortly here for the next person, a vet probably, who will figure out how to remove those chips. But like Ken said, I would go to the website chipmenot.org, and you can find out more information right there. And I'm glad you brought that up, Ken, because this is not talked about at all. And a lot of vets are doing this on a regular basis. So I really think that it's time for us to look at this one. But when I'm discussing a dog's health, and my first approach is usually in the food issue. And so what was DOG's diet before he was diagnosed with cancer?
Yeah, well, you know, food, you know, when you talk about environment, there's probably nothing bigger than the food being a part of it. I've done a lot of reading, of course, talking to you, Mickey, and it's been so inspiring. I've read so many books, and you know, if it's okay, I'd like to just
go
say
ahead.
A couple of quotes first. Yeah, there are three quotes in particular that stand out to me. One of them I saw on the dogcancer.net website, and I'll just read it. None of these are too long, but I think they're pretty good ones. It says, quote, "Cancer is the leading cause of death in American dogs. It is thought by many experts that diet is the main reason for this. We feed our dogs a diet that is based mostly around grain, even though none of the dog family feeds on grains in the wild. Not the wolves or coyotes or dingoes or hyenas, none of them. Dogs have not evolved the necessary enzymes to digest or utilize grain in their diet. They are primarily carnivores. When you feed a carnivore a diet based on grain, they will develop various immune dysfunctions, including cancer," end quote. So that's one.
Yeah.
That kind of gets your attention.
It does. It really does. And because basically that's all most dog food is made from is grain.
Yeah, that's something we were ignorant on. But the second quote, I read a book called, we have a book called Dr. Pitcairn's New Complete Guide to Natural Health for Dogs and Cats, I'd imagine many of your listeners probably already have it. He sold several hundreds of thousands of copies of this over the past 20 years or so. And it's, you know, it's an interesting book. It has kind of two sections. One is more of a intro section, then it's kind of a reference manual on things for natural health. But I took a couple of quotes from it that I think are significant. The first one, quote, "I have found over the," and he was a practicing vet for many years, of course.
Right.
Quote, "I have found over the years that proper nutrition is the essential foundation of a holistic approach to health and healing. Without it, there is little to work with in helping an animal to recover. And I feel certain that many of the chronic and degenerative diseases we see today are caused by or complicated by inadequate diet." And then he goes on to say later on, quote, "It appears that the immune system, with its production of specialized white blood cells and antibodies, is particularly susceptible to nutritional imbalance." So again, end quote. And so again, and that book just really says, wow, food is important. And you kind of think about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's our fuel.
Yeah. Seems pretty obvious.
Well, you have another quote from Dr. Sotero, right?
Yeah, Dr. Sotero, he's a practicing vet in Scottsdale. He's practiced for many years, and he and Dr. Connie Stoffels actually wrote a book called It's Like a Miracle. And so to kind of paraphrase from that book, which is an interesting read, practicing as a vet for over 30 years, he noticed a marked increase in the incidence of cancer and other ailments. He did some research which, to him, showed a correlation between this increase in incidence and the shift to commercial dog food over the past 60 years or so. He would change diets for affected pets and noted that the impacts were, quote, like a miracle. And that's the title of his book, It's Like a Miracle. So again, it just really goes to kind of the heart of what could have been the issue with DOG. Like I say, we'll never know.
Right. So his diet from the breeder was different than what you had eventually taken him to.
Yeah, you know, when we got it from the breeder, I look back on it and I just feel pretty bad. From the breeder, he was actually on a commercial dog food, but it was a frozen raw. And so,
right.
You know, a lot better than a lot of the foods that, you know, the commercial foods, as I now know, thanks to you. You know, he was on a commercial frozen raw food, but, you know, again, he was our first dog. We were completely ignorant. We looked around, and gosh, most people just, they don't have to store stuff in the freezer and worry about thawing it out. Oh my gosh, that sounds like a lot of trouble. But that's what we were thinking. We look around, let's just open a bag of kibble. Isn't that what most people do? That sounds
well, they do. They
yeah,
do.
That's what we decided to do. Feel horrible about it, but that's what we looked around, started trying different kibbles, and it actually took us a while to find a kibble that he could tolerate well, because he had this kind of sensitive stomach. And so, but we found one, you know, and so we gave him that, and then in addition to that, we also gave him, he got a half a Benadryl every day, you know, again, working with the vet. He kind of had some allergies, you know, that's when they'll scratch and they'll kind of lick their paws.
Right.
So we'd give him a half a Benadryl every day to help him with that.
That and corn then, does that to you.
I guess. And so then, in addition to his kibble and the half Benadryl, he'd get just some doggy treats, mainly from Linda. He'd go in her office and beg from her, and she'd give him dog treats. And so, but that was all DOG got, and we were very strict to limit him to only intake those things because of his sensitive stomach. We had seen how other things just didn't agree with him.
Yeah.
That was really, unfortunately, all he got.
Well, but you changed, and we're going to take another break, but we're going to talk with Ken on his DOG story and continue on that and find out what brought about the change and how they went about it. So we'll be right back with the Pet Chef.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/chef, C-H-E-F, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
Whether they're big, small, hairy, or whatever, you're going to need gear for your feet. And Kids Foot Locker's got all the great shoes and gear that'll get you in the game.
Go to KidsFootLocker.com. Enter the code AFTPC1KF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFTPC2KF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at KidsFootLocker.com.
And cover those funky feet.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to florop.com and use the code PETCHEF1 at checkout. FLEUROP.com, code word PETCHEF and the number 1.
Hi, this is Marcy Davis and my service dog Whistle, and we're your hosts of Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Working Like Dogs is the show where you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about working animals or working dogs. Whether you're a member of a working dog team, or you've just seen a working dog or animal out at the mall or the grocery store, and you're curious about how these amazing animals work with their human partners, then Working Like Dogs is the show for you. Join us for the inside scoop at Working Like Dogs on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. So, Ken, you were feeding him what kind of kibble?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, it took a while to find one, but we worked with the vet, and she recommended one called Science Diet ID. And many people are probably familiar with that. The vets sell it, and
right,
they're familiar with it. And I think of the ID, don't know exactly what it stands for, but to me it stood for intestinal distress, because he kind of had that sensitive stomach. And you know, he seemed to tolerate it just fine. So his vet recommended, and he seemed to tolerate it. So that's what he ended up on. And so he was on that Science Diet ID for years.
So eventually you started looking at Science Diet, but you found out that it wasn't quite what you thought it was originally.
Yeah, you know, I like the quote, Mickey, from your book, the Dog Chef's Road Food Manual. If you'll let me, I'll quote from it. It's where you say, the most important information you're looking for are the ingredients, the first 5 ingredients to be exact, not the cute pictures on the bag, and stay
right
away from corn, ground yellow corn, whole wheat, soy meal, corn gluten meal, and all byproducts. And so, you know, I thought, wow, well, let me just look in the bag. So we actually looked at the bag. What's in this stuff? Well, the first ingredient, whole grain corn, and it goes downhill from there. So it just, you know, after looking at it, it just made me sick. And so I actually looked at some other bags, too. You know, one of the ads that was on quite a bit at the time was for the Beneful and Credibites. You know, their ads are great. It makes it look
yeah,
so wholesome and everything. So I took a look at the bag of the ingredients on the bag of Beneful, and, oh, my gosh, it is probably about the worst I've seen.
Yeah.
It just made me really sad. And then Then I thought of, I don't know, I'm kind of dating myself here, but I don't know how long ago it was. Wendy's had this line of commercials where Clara, this lady in a car, you know, she's driving through the drive-thru, and she said, honked her horn and said, "Where's the beef?" Well, yeah. That kind of came to mind when I looked at these bags of dog food, like, where's the meat?
Yeah, it's like a number 18 on the ingredient list, you know, and yeah, which means nothing.
And then it has byproducts after it.
Yeah. So it's really not what we think it is. So you had the bad food and the environmental bad stuff and some what you thought might be environmental good stuff. And it is surprising that DOG lived for so long after his diagnosis. What do you think came from that?
Well, you know, that prognosis, of course, was 30 to 50 days without treatment. And so when we got his diagnosis, the vet recommended a couple of possible treatment options. The first, of course, was traditional chemotherapy. Now, with lymphosarcoma, there are actually two different types of it. One is the most common is called B cell, and it's the most common and pretty treatable with chemotherapy. There's another kind called lymphosarcoma T cell, and it's more aggressive. It's a more aggressive cancer which doesn't respond as well to chemo. Well, unfortunately, they diagnosed lymphosarcoma, but determining the type required another test, which took a full week. So we had no idea which type he had. But again, B cell was more common. So she recommended really seriously considering chemotherapy. So, you know, we got his diagnosis, so we immediately went and saw an oncologist and basically learned that the traditional chemotherapy works like this. They do chemo, and in many cases, again, depending on the type, they can get the cancer to go into remission the first time. It always comes back. That was important to hear, unfortunately. Uh-huh. And then in a smaller percentage of the time, they can, again, through chemo, get it to go into remission a second time. It always comes back. And then in a lower percentage, they can sometimes get it to go into remission yet a third time. And so, you know, on average, they said, you know, you could expect maybe a year. And so, you know, obviously we seriously considered this, but we rejected it for a number of reasons. It's a very personal thing, and I don't have anything against people who elected. It's just when we thought about it for us and for mostly for DOG's sake, we felt it was not good for him. He didn't like riding in the car. It would have been trips down there to get treatments very frequently, daily and then weekly and on. And then, you know, they can have side effects. The oncologists say they kind of minimize them, but you kind of wonder. So it just didn't sound like a good quality of life for DOG, and so we rejected chemo. So it's probably just as well, because we did find out a week later that he, in fact, had the more aggressive form, T-cell, which does not respond as well to chemo. So that was the first treatment option that the vet recommended that we rejected. She said if we decide against chemo, and she was real good, you know, it was, a personal decision, but if we decided against it, which we did, she recommended that we use prednisone. She said that might give him an extra few weeks. And, you know, since we've learned, you know, one of the side effects of prednisone is it suppresses the immune system, among others, and it's just some bad side effects.
Was there ever any mention from the vet or the oncologist that you should change his diet?
Never. Yeah. Never. No. These were the treatment options, and, you know, chemo we rejected. The prednisone, the attraction to that was, gosh, maybe it would give him a few extra weeks, and we could do it at home. It's just give him a pill. And so, you know, we decided that's what we're going to do. And so, after we rejected chemo, this is all in a matter of just a few days, we went by and picked up the prednisone. But then, before we gave it to him, Mickey, you know, I don't think you went into the fact that Linda and I first met you many years ago in California when we both happened to live there, and we ended up buying some art from you. And
right.
Got to know you through that process. And then we, you know, hadn't talked to you for years, And when Dioji got sick, Linda just happened to remember that you also did something with dogs. She didn't remember what. And so I remember sending you an email, and after we got the prednisone and before we started giving it to him, you gave me a call. And so we talked to you, and so instead of either of those two options, we chose what I call an alternative two-step program.
Yeah, and that two-step program was really basically changing his diet to real food, right?
Exactly. You know, get that bag of kibble and, you know, appreciate it for what it is, garbage, and throw it out.
I just have to interrupt here because I remember coming to your house and you guys had this science diet in this cute little plastic thing. And you had the little plastic, you know, thing that also measuring cup that showed how much food that Dioji was supposed to get on a daily basis. And I remember picking that up and just walking to the garbage can and throwing the food anyway into the garbage can. I think the plastic thing you guys kept, but you know, you both had this look like, okay, what's left? So we went shopping. I just remember taking you all shopping.
Yeah. You know, I always had this nagging feeling that what we were doing with the kibble just didn't seem right.
Right.
It just didn't make sense. It just nagged at us. But we didn't really know, you know, what else to do. And so yeah, that we threw away that stuff, and then we switched the OG to a diet of real food, you know?
Yeah.
And so he, as you know, I mean, I tell people he had meat, he had beef hearts, lamb, bison, liver, tripe. He had poultry, including chicken and turkey and eggs, I guess you consider poultry. He had fish. We gave him salmon, although, as you know, he wasn't real fond of the salmon, but he loved the sardines. Oh, he loved those sardines. He had a little bit of grain with his meal, some rice, quinoa, and oatmeal. And then, of course, vegetables. He had zucchini, yellow squash, carrots, broccoli. So, I mean, on and on. And you just helped us so much learn how to do what seems so obvious and what people did for years and years and years and years, which is feed the dogs real food.
The other thing I want to interject here is I remember also when you gave him his first bone.
Oh, yeah, he loved that bone. He loved those. We'd get these marrow bones, and it took him a while to figure them out, of course, but not too long. And he absolutely loved those bones.
Yeah, he had them hidden all over the house.
Yeah, there were quite a few bones by the time he left us. One of my fondest memories is him enjoying a bone his last day with us. That was really neat.
Yeah.
He loved those bones.
Well, he responded so well to his new diet, and he really loved it and thrived, and you guys just had an incredible bonding experience.
Yeah, you know, one thing I should say, Mickey, is, you know, it's really not as difficult as it sounded, switching to real food, and I so like that, and I'm just going to put a plug in for your book, The Road Food Manual, because it really took a lot of what you taught us and puts it in an easy-to-understand form that people can really learn from, because we were clueless. And I think had we had that book, it would have really helped us. You know, if we'd had it years before, we might have been feeding that way all along. So it really helped. But, you know, he did. He thrived. He loved that diet. And just to watch him change when he got onto it was really satisfying to see. And I tell people that Linda and I take great comfort knowing that in the twilight of Dioji's life, he had no allergies, and we weren't giving him any Benadryl anymore. He had no sensitive stomach. You heard what we were feeding him, all this variety of stuff. It must have been the grains and all the kibble we were trying to feed him that gave him the sensitive stomach.
Right.
His begging stopped. You know, I think he was always trying to get more. I think he just needed the real nutrition that he was finally getting from real food. And so it's mainly to that we attribute him living 121 wonderful days as one happy dog. So we're sad we didn't know about it sooner, but so happy that his last days were were so good for him. And so it's that ignorance again, like I say, that we felt like we were just ignorant.
And it made quite an impact on your life too, for the next dog.
Yeah, you know, it took, as people can understand, I'm sure, it takes a little while to get over a dog, and some people get another dog right away. We waited a little while, but we now have another puppy named Otto, and he's just about 8 months old, and so he's you know, we've learned he's living in an environment without all that bad stuff, and we've also minimized a lot of the good stuff. I mean, he's had some vaccinations, but we're minimizing that and all the other things, and he loves his diet of real food. Go figure.
Yeah, and he's, you know, and he's also a Norwich Terrier, right?
Yeah, same breed. It's just a breed that Linda really fell in love with. And for our lifestyle, it really worked out well. You know, one other thing I'll mention about his diet of real food, Linda and I were reflecting the other night, it just gives us such satisfaction personally to present him with food we know is nutritionally healthy for him. It's just very satisfying. It's just a different experience than just opening a bag and dropping some kibble in the bowl and moving on, you know. It's just different.
Well, you're more involved, you know, like you said, the involvement doesn't have to take you too much longer than it does to go shopping for a bag of commercial dog food and then opening it up. You know, it's not that much more involved than if you're shopping for food for yourself, you can add a few extras for your dog. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, it's, you know, just a skill that takes a little while to learn, but I mean, you get into it and you can, you know, we make things in batches and freeze them, and it's really not that much trouble. It's a little different. It takes some getting used to it. It takes a little more time, but you know, it's so much better.
I appreciate how you and Linda have embraced all of this and have taken upon yourself to make all of these changes. And is there anything else you want to add to all this, Ken?
Well, it just, you know, the reason, as I said early on, was that I wanted to be on your program is that we just felt like we were ignorant. You know, we relied on our vet for advice on what to feed DOG, and, you know, we really like our vet, but I think everyone needs to recognize that none of us can know everything, and vets don't get a lot of instruction in nutrition. So, you know, I'm sure she was doing what she thought was best in helping guide us for food, but just without the proper knowledge in that area. And so, you know, we just hope that others aren't as ignorant as we were and subsequently have to go through an experience like DOG had. I mean, you know, we're dealing with many different dogs and different situations, and just because you feed your dog kibble doesn't guarantee they're going to come down with cancer. You know, it just doesn't work that way. It's just a numbers game. But, you know, looking at the research and the incidence of cancer just going off the charts and the parallel with the switch to commercial food, it just sounds more than coincidence to me. So hopefully some of this resonated with some of your listeners, and, you know, maybe it'll help inspire them to move forward more quickly with what you are telling them about real food.
Well, that's great of you to spend the time and lay it all out, because sometimes when I tell people things, they go, oh, yeah, right, you've been doing this for a long time. But you and Linda have embraced this in the last year, and you have taken it upon yourself to read everything you can, and there's a ton of authors that have written books on this subject. So, you know, it's time that people kind of wake up and look at it, because in my previous podcast, I had talked about the price of commercial dog food is going to be going up dramatically by this time next year. So sometimes that might really accelerate the idea for some people to start looking at real food. But Ken, thanks so much for spending your time. I know you're a busy guy, and I appreciate you laying it all out and telling us this great story about DOG. I really appreciate it.
Well,
thanks for being on.
It's been my pleasure, Mickey. Thanks to you again for all your help helping us with DOG and for letting me tell the story on your podcast. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
You're welcome. And hey, we're out of time, and I'd like to thank Ken again for being such a great guest, and also thank our producer, Mark, for making this show possible. And you can go to my website, smelllikeadog.com, where you can buy my new book, The Dog Chef's Road Food Manual. And you can also send me your questions or comments to Mickey@PetLifeRadio.com. So until next time, bon appetit.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.